I got nothing.
It's the weather, isn't it?
I don't know. I was telling, people talk about seasonal affective disorder, and not that I have it, just that I'm aware of the fact that we haven't seen the sun in like seems like months.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see it, it's for like 3 seconds, and then it's gone.
So the cold open is basically Hamlet this week. Welcome to episode 112 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam in Richmond, British Columbia, Canada.
I had trouble spitting out the 112 part. That doesn't roll off the tongue.
No. What about 113?
I'm gonna go to 113. I'm not gonna say 113.
Okay.
Because all of a sudden it sounds like a Roman numeral.
Yeah, 113?
Yeah, no, well, I would do the, I don't know, CXIII. That's what I'll do next week.
Okay.
Yeah, that was quick.
Is it really a CX?
Yeah.
I know X is 10, and obviously the III, but is C for 100?
Cent.
Yeah, 100. I don't know. In yeah. Roman, is it the same?
Yeah. Okay. You know that thing, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ear?
Yes.
Nothing to do with the cent.
Hmm.
Yeah. The little known fact, it has nothing to do with Roman numerals.
Great.
Anyways, yeah. So CX111 or III next week.
I can't wait. Can't wait for it.
Yeah. Got a nice email the other day.
From your dad?
Yeah, from my dad. Saying,
miss
hey,
you, son.
Why don't you call more? That's what it said. P.S. Please share this on the show.
Yeah.
He said, hey, I'm on episode 3, and I'm catching up slowly. That's what he said. Now we got an email from one of our listeners named Kyle.
Okay.
And he has just been asked to be the on-call photographer for his local newspaper.
Okay. Can we say the newspaper or anything?
I don't know. It's pretty small, so I'm going to... Pretty small town, so I'm going to leave that part out.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not the New York Times.
It's not.
Which, P.S., yeah, don't bother sharing with us unless it's the New York Times. Is that what you're saying, Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's a good deal, I think. So, I don't know how much we had to do with it on the show. He seems to be thanking us, so
you're welcome.
Because you and I both have wildly huge egos. I'm going to go ahead and assume that it's 100% us.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Cake. Yeah. Pretty sure more me than you.
Yeah, no, definitely more you than me.
Right.
Because generally, it's more often it's you than me.
Right.
Anyway, he says he wants to say thank you. I'll learn so much from you too. He says too.
Okay.
And of course, other photographers, we'll delete that part. I don't care about.
Yeah.
I listen every week, and although I don't partake in the photo challenge, I do sometimes try them on my own. So.
Great.
Yeah. So he's pretty excited, but nervous. I told him, don't be nervous. Be excited. Okay. Be excitedly nervous. That's a good thing.
It's great advice on your part.
Do you get nervous before going out to do like a shoot, right?
Yeah. Definitely I do.
For me, it's a nervous excitement. Like it's not like, oh my God, I'm going to blow this. Like I am thinking, oh my God, I hope I don't blow this.
Right.
But I still, even after I've been on many, many shoots, like video, whatever it is, I still have like this sort of nervous feeling. It's pretty normal.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I get that feeling. And again, it's usually an excited nervous, but I guess it depends on how much you know about what you're going to do going in. The less you know, I think the more of the uncertain nerves that kick in.
Mm-hmm. Good point. But then there is a certain, if you know even less than that, you don't even know enough to be nervous, which is nice.
That's true too. Yeah.
So I'm gonna shoot for that. Just sheer incompetency. Sure, I can fly the space shuttle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like to give off the allure of overconfidence, just wild overconfidence too.
Why? Because nobody takes pleasure when you fail.
Yeah.
That's what ends up happening. People are just rooting for you to fail. And then you see, I told you. Yeah. I told you. He didn't know. He didn't know.
Can you take a picture of 600 people in this 4x4 room? I can do that. And that's standing on my head.
And they're not all going to be here on the same day. Yeah. And some of them are going to be wearing their welding masks.
Yeah.
That good? You can do it?
Yeah,
that's it. I cleaned out my 40D the other day, finally.
Meaning, the whole button issue?
Yeah. I couldn't find rubbing alcohol, so I just used a warm beer.
Perfect. And how did that work out for you?
Not good. Yeah, so I found some isopropyl alcohol, whatever you want to call it. I had to figure out where to find it first and what it's called in Germany.
Okay.
Because I thought, I'll go to the hardware store, and they must have it there. But he just looked at me like I was speaking Latin.
Okay.
Even though I was speaking German, it wasn't English, so I figured he should have understood. But they didn't have it.
Okay, so?
So Marquardt hooked me up, pointed me in the right direction, and the drugstore sells it. Like a pharmacy.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of odd, but sure enough. They found it. The lady there had 70% pure, and I was like, oh, no, I need 99. And she said, no, 99 doesn't exist. I was like, oh, my God, like it's some sort of weird element.
Okay.
But then she said, oh, I'll check in the back. And she came out with a bottle of 100%.
Wow.
And I was like, well, that will be better then. That 1% will probably do the trick.
Right.
Yeah. So she sold it to me. And now it was considerably more expensive than the 70%.
Okay.
One was $2.70 and one was $3.10.
Okay. So you got the $3 version.
Yeah, I didn't want to halfway it.
Right.
So anyway, cleaned it out, did the trick, everything worked, and it worked ish.
Okay.
That's where we're at. I think it needs a second pass. I think it's that dirty.
Okay, so but you've only done it once so far.
Done it once.
Yeah.
Meant to do it last night, but I forgot.
And nothing gets wrecked in the process here.
It says no. I mean, it is alcohol. It should just
evaporate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And so it does come through. Like you hold upside down and push the button, and you can see it seeping through, drips onto the towel, and then leave it to dry, and it should dry up entirely. But I don't think it got all of it. So it works intermittently. Now it's intermittently good.
Okay. Well, keep us posted because we're hanging on pins and needles here.
Yeah, I understand you are. What'd you shoot this week?
What did I shoot this week? Well, I said I had that. I had a shoot last weekend for a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that.
Yeah. How'd that go?
It was good. It was good. It was kind of like. They rented a community center room, which was actually not a very big room.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I don't know, ballpark 12 feet by 10 feet.
Ooh.
So something like that. So it was relatively small. And they wanted just kind of like, you know, some headshots, some individual sort of portrait shots. And there was five of them. And so we had the room for 2 hours and we spent 2 hours. And I brought gray background paper. The nice thing was that it was a white ceiling and white walls. There was a bulletin board, and there was some stuff on one wall that we couldn't use. And then up high, there was two kind of like windows right near the ceiling. So it was probably about, you know, 15-foot ceilings, and there was two windows up high. So at one point, just in terms of the time of day, I was able to use the window light for like a kicker.
Oh, yeah.
So I got some nice kind of like hair light off of the window light, but that only lasted for about an hour and then it was gone. But yeah, I shot some different stuff. I brought all the light stands and multiple flashes and stuff because I didn't know exactly what I was going to be doing. But I did look, you know, my real different sort of kind of shooting that I'd never done before was I did a lot of use of the wall, like, you know, people standing against the wall, using the wall, and because it was all white, got some neat effects out of using the wall. So not something I ever really have done before, but after talking about posing, and I got a little app off the iPad with different sort of posing samples, and then saw some stuff that looked interesting, and so yeah, kind of made use of it. So yeah, I highly recommend using a posing app, especially for people who haven't probably done a whole lot of this themselves as models. But we basically had the iPad open, and it had lots of different options. And so while one person was getting their photo taken, you know, a couple of the other people were just kind of looking at stuff, and whatever they thought gave them a little bit of inspiration, and sometimes just a starting point to work from, right? So
I like the idea. I was very happy of them seeing the poses that like kind of while they're waiting.
Yeah,
I like that because it sort of does it well. I mean, with kids that age, they always have unbridled confidence for no good reason, anyway.
Yes,
but. Inspiring confidence in your subject is great when they can say, okay, that looks good. Let's do something like that. Like, don't just have to trust you that it's going to look great, because they don't always trust you.
Exactly.
Or so, me.
I think all the way around, it worked out well. I was happy with the pictures. As far as I know, they were very happy with the pictures. So win-win for everybody.
So this was the day of the party, or like, I was surprised it was 2 hours.
Which part were you surprised
like,
with?
What, did they go have their party afterwards? Or was this the whole thing set up just for the photos?
This is just for the photos. Their party was, they were going out afterwards for the party. Gotcha. Party. Yeah.
So one dress up, one makeup.
What's that?
One dress up, one makeup day.
That's yes.
I got it now.
There you go. And then I did take a few pictures of my kid. Just outside of my daughter's school, we were going for pickup and at the school, and so I took my camera along. I hadn't done that for a while, so I took a few pictures of my son. He was wearing my daughter's old sunglasses, kind of blue sparkly sunglasses, and I thought, you know, the tinted shades, it looked pretty cute. So I took a few pictures of him running and being a goofball with the T2i. So I just hadn't had it out for a little while, and I thought, I'm going to put the 85mm on the T2i. I knew I was going to be outside, so knew I could always back up if need be. But I thought, you know, I'm gonna use that camera a little bit, and so I did. So I posted those on Facebook, and T2i resurrected.
That's the best part of that camera is like, well, I usually leave the 30mm on my 40D, similar to one to your T2i.
Yeah,
and then just I take it with me a lot of places I go. Like, just throw it, and yeah, of course, just grab it. You never know. Places you don't think you'll ever need a camera. But, you know, 2 years later, when you're looking at your pictures or something like that, you think, yeah, you know, that's pretty cool to have a picture of that. Like, how many pictures do you have of your kid outside school?
I don't know.
Well, now a few, but
yeah.
You think about it. I mean, or how many pictures of the little moments that you wouldn't normally think of, but later on you very much appreciate.
Yes. Now here's the other side of that, in that today my kids had a play date. So there was, you know, four kids, one my son's age, another one that was 3.5, and another 5-year-old or almost 6-year-old. So they're over and we're inside, and, you know, my house isn't all that well lit in the living room where they're playing. And so I took out the 6D. And I shot, normally if I had the T2i, I would have the flash and I'd be bouncing it off the ceiling in order to get a decent exposure. In this case, I just shot at an ISO of 2500 and with an aperture of around somewhere between 2.5 and 2.8 was usually where I was. I got great stuff with just natural light, whereas there just would not be enough natural light for me to make a decent, clear exposure with the T2i.
Right.
So,
but there are times when you're going out that you don't want to bring your 6D.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And when I have enough light, absolutely. The T2i functions just fine if I've got enough light. But there's the difference is that I love the natural light photos, and I love the extraordinary, you know, shallow depth of field you can get with that 85mm on the full frame. And it's just a total game changer when you can take those pictures inside, and it just, yeah, no, I, it, it wows me. And I, it's, it just was not possible to do that with the other camera.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you ever, like, when your kids go to other people's houses and then they take pictures there with their little point and shoots or something, and then share them with you. Like, oh, hey, Jack was here for a play day. And you just think, ugh, those pictures are terrible.
No, I am a photography snob, but I do appreciate, you know, just any those stills, point and shoots, the kids having fun in different places. It is what mm-hmm. it is, right? Like, it's not like they had a better time because I took it with my camera. Yes. So, I'm probably not getting those pictures printed. I'll say that much. But mm-hmm. as far as enjoying it, it doesn't matter to me. So,
okay, I was trying to trap you there. I'm also not a snob. I'm a snob, but not when it comes to that.
Yeah,
I do. I actually fully appreciate people's crappy point and shoot flash in the face pictures.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, it makes me feel better about myself, but also it is that odd, you know, this is about the moments. So
yeah. So yeah. I got no problem with it.
Me neither.
So what about you, pictures wise?
It's even more snow here, man.
So more snow pictures.
No, I stopped bothering because it's like how much variation am I going to get?
Right. You know?
Here's a picture of my kids smiling in the snow, and then 12 more of them over different days. So we're good. I could just copy and paste them at this point.
Yeah.
So I don't bother. Because it's not like she's wearing different outfits either.
Right.
She's wearing her snow outfit.
She's got one.
Well, she's got three, but they're all hand-me-downs, so that's why we have three.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that's it. There's not a lot of variety there, so... But that's the thing, is it's so cold, and I kind of had to force myself this week to try to go and shoot something, because it's this, you know... I don't know how you talked earlier in the opening there about the sort of seasonal affectation disorder.
Right.
And I don't get that either. Like, I'm not sad, but I'm tired of the winter.
Yes.
I've had enough, and it's just not breeding variety in my photo taking.
Right.
And so I tried to force myself to go out and do that. I didn't really get much opportunity, but I did go shoot with my ProMist filter. I shot some stuff I sent to you.
Yep.
You thought the lens was dirty.
A parking meter and
yeah, those were extreme examples.
Right.
But spoiler alert coming up, this week's photo challenge I also shot with the ProMist.
Great.
So there's that. But so I shot with that. But I bought a polarizer filter, by the way.
I saw that too, yeah.
I've never had one, and it's one of those ones that filters that you should really have one. They are fantastic. What they do is I'll say difficult/impossible, depending on what effect you're going for, to replicate in post. Like you can replicate some of the effect by kind of deepening the blues in Photoshop,
yeah.
But cutting reflections and all that, you're not doing it,
right?
And so, always wanted one. Was just kind of went took my kid for a walk the other day, in the freezing cold, and one of the camera stores in town had it out on a desk, like out front, like selling basically like a flea market stuff,
yeah.
And I'd been kicking myself that ever since I bought the adapter for my ProMist, so I can use my ProMist on my lenses, I didn't have a lens cap for that because it's a 72 mil onto my other lens caps don't fit.
Right.
So I thought, oh man, I probably have to order one online. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be $4, but you know, 12 bucks shipping or something. Right.
Yeah.
Boom, there he goes, €1 sitting there, 72 millimeter lens cap.
Perfect.
So hey, I'm gonna get this. And then right next to it was a polarizing filter for €10. And I thought, well, it's a Hoya. It's not the, you know, if you're gonna go buy one, it'd be nice to buy a, you know, BMW or something, you know, the fantastic one, but Hoya's good.
Yeah.
And at $10, I will take a gamble on it.
Right.
And sure enough, it is awesome. Love it.
Great. And so what's the size on that? What's the filter size?
It was 72 as well.
So you're using that on which lens?
Any of my lenses, because I bought the step-up filters, or step-up rings, I mean.
Okay, so you can go all the way to the 58 millimeter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. It'll fit on my 70-200. It'll fit on my 50 and my 85. And
they're the same, right? The 50 and the 85 are the same.
The 51.4 and the 51.8 are the same. Yeah. Oh, there's the 8518.
Yeah.
But the good news is with the 72 mil, it can stack. It'll wind onto my ProMist filter.
Okay.
Which will also wind onto my ND6 filter.
Okay.
So I could stack all three, which I went and did and shot some video of a little. Did you see the video sample I sent?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think of that?
I thought it's cool. I mean, obviously with you're able to, you know, shoot at a much shallower depth of field in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm. That's
which
handy.
Which is handy. And I guess if you're going to shoot a waterfall or something where you want to have a really long shutter speed in the middle of the day, you can do that too.
Possibly. I think I would need a couple more ND filters for that.
Because what's your ND filter? You said an ND6, which is what, two stops?
Two stops. Yeah. Six clicks is what that is.
Okay, so you probably need what, like an ND8 is three stops?
ND9 would be three stops.
Okay. But there's also I don't get the naming of those ND filters because I saw an ND4, an ND8. I haven't even seen an ND6. I don't even know what that is.
See, this is the thing, it might be different nomenclature depending on where you are. And I looked on the side of the filter, it actually has different markings. So it's got like a +2, it's got a 4, so like a x4.
Yeah.
And ND6. So they're all they all mean the same thing. +2 stops, x4, you know, darker, or 6 clicks. So it depends what you're used to.
Great.
So there you go. So I shot with that. That's about it. Nothing else interesting. Love the polarizer. Had fun with that.
Awesome. Well, I don't own any filters, but it's one of those things that's on the to buy list. Like you, I'm waiting for to walk up to a garage sale and find everything in perfect condition for a dollar.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Are there still garage sales with Craigslist?
Yeah. No, there's still garage sales.
Yeah. That'd be awesome, like to find something like that. Like, even if it's ten or $15, I'd recommend getting a polarizer.
Yes, no, I will get one at one point, and an ND filter for sure too.
Yeah, ND. I don't know if I would have that much use for it outside of video.
I really anticipate doing some long exposure stuff during the summer this year. So I it's one of those ones that I've wanted to get. So I'm going to probably get both, but yeah, the polarizer, I think I'd probably make more everyday use for.
All right.
Yeah. Especially with the water. There's always the reflection of the water. I take a lot of pictures.
Yes.
As you know, down in Gary Point, and yeah, I'd love to see the difference with the sky and with the lack of reflections.
It's surprisingly amazing, if that's a word.
Well, I have, polarized sunglasses, and I can't live without them now. I will never buy another pair of sunglasses that are not polarized.
Hear ya.
Yeah.
All right. This week's photo check. Oh, well, last week's Exifoku results. Let's get that out of the way first.
Oh gosh, I've been losing sleep over it.
I know. I should have told you earlier. Sorry, man. we left the ISO off the table.
Okay.
Just so we could figure out where people wouldn't want to know where we started. So let's talk just real quick. Dwayne shot his at a 320 ISO.
Okay.
Now his was with a fluorescent tube lighting setup.
Yep.
So obviously, I mean, maybe not obviously, but potentially obviously, not as much wattage. So you would need a higher ISO, which he did. He shot at 320 instead of a 100.
Okay.
To make up for that, you're going to get a lot more pop out of your flash than you are with the what have you setup he used there. Adam, your ISO was 125.
Great.
Any reason in particular why you picked that?
I don't remember. Which photo was this?
This was your posed one of Sarah.
Yeah, I don't remember. Okay. I try to make it work. Try to knock down all the ambient light in the room. That was a flash photo with umbrella and whatnot. So I usually try to keep the ISO for grain purposes as low as possible. So I'm guessing that's why I started that low.
Mm-hmm. And mine was 200. That's it. ISO 200. Same reasoning you just gave.
Okay.
Because we both used flash, and so we didn't need to go much higher than that.
Great.
Photo challenge this week. From last week, we talked about a with Dwayne Gervan. again, yes, check them out, dgphoto.ca, if you haven't looked over there yet. All the posing things, which were very helpful.
Yeah.
And the challenge was full-length pose. How did you find it? How did you find the challenge this week?
I don't know. I found it normal. I look back, and I think I do a fair amount of full-length poses, but not posed, I guess.
Right.
Just full-length shots that just happen naturally, mostly, again, of the kids, because they're 95% of all the photos I take. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of full-length shots within what I usually shoot from them. But as far as posing it, yeah, it just felt a little bit different because you had to think about everything that was going to be in the shot as opposed to just, you know, head and shoulders or, you know, capturing them in the moment.
That's what I found, too. I found it was a little bit more difficult because it's not just that you have to pay attention to every part of their body. Like, hey, where are their feet going to go? Where are their hands? Like, you have to decide all that as, you know, in addition, you're generally shooting a wider background.
Yes.
So you have to deal with all that. So with that, let's have a look at your photo.
Okay.
So who's the stranger?
Yeah. So this is a friend of mine. never been part of a photo challenge before. So I found her on the street.
Do you have friends?
Yeah, a couple, I guess. Okay. If you call my kids and my wife friends, then yeah, I've got three. Yeah. So, let's not get into my social circle right now. Let's talk about the photo. Mm-hmm. This is just kind of, nearby our complex. There's this fence and I thought, oh, hey, here's a good spot. The sun, it was sun was pretty low in the sky. And so I was going to shoot a picture with her exposed by the sun. And then I sort of looked at it, but I wanted the fence and I couldn't have both. So I went with this this sort of open shade. Mm-hmm. That's it. I posed her with the fence. I wanted to have a little bit of depth in the picture. And then we just kind of sorted through the pose. I sort of, you know, asked her to lean up against the fence. And then I gave her a little bit of suggestions in terms of, you know, trying to not have, like Dwayne suggested, like 90 degree joints. So sort of elongated her look with the, instead of the elbow being bent, sort of more curved. And then I liked the position with her feet kind of leaned in with the little bit of separation between her feet. So you could see them separately. And I don't know, this is where we wound up. So there mm-hmm. it is.
Well, I want to point out there's a couple blown up pixels in the top. So really yeah. the whole thing's a fail.
Yeah, that's the sun right there. But I actually cropped it like that. Well, it was only a very slight crop, but I cropped it like that because I kind of like that. I don't know. Sometimes mm-hmm. I like it, sometimes I don't.
I'm only kidding. I have no problem with blown pixels. I do it
myself.
No,
I know you didn't, yeah. but I want to say I kind of like that look yes. sometimes. Yeah,
I also like it. I like it. It to me, it adds context of what kind of day it is. So.
Yeah, so this was the bit of sunshine that we saw this week in about 20 minutes worth of it.
I like the pose. I really like what's going on with the feet because it is odd because it looks odd. She never stands like this in real life.
No, I don't think so.
I just stand at the food fair of the mall. Give me an Orange Julius and here I'm going to put my feet in a weird X position. Yeah. However, it for some reason it still looks oddly comfortable, despite being uncomfortable.
I agree. I thought it looked so much more uncomfortable when she was standing there because she was kind of like, do you mean like this?
Yeah.
And then when I looked at it, on the computer, I was like, I really like that. It looks comfortable to you, even though I know it really wasn't.
Yeah. So. I'm going to go ahead and probably try that little foot pose on somebody else at some point.
There you go.
When I'm photographing your wife.
Right.
Yeah. great. Now it's weird.
Yeah, it got really weird quickly. Uh-huh.
No, I do. I like it. I think also the colors seem to be a little warmer than last week's.
Yes, they are. And it was also time of day and the light, but then I warmed it a little bit more just on, mm-hmm. on the critique that I received last week. I try to utilize that information and make for a better next photo. So mm-hmm. there you go. There's my learning.
Yes. No, it is. The skin tones look a little warmer and yeah, good all around. Good shot. Like
Thank
it.
Thank you. All right.
Would have preferred that you didn't have the power station thing in the back, right? But
Yeah, it is what it is.
That's what I'm saying about doing a full-length shot. Like, sometimes you're stuck.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, how much time are you going to spend photoshopping that out on this? Zero.
Zero. The answer is zero.
I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good photo.
Plus, I have to leave some room for criticism because, you know, I don't want to be perfect every week.
That's my move, but that's a whole nother topic. All right, so mine. See, I have friends, so I shot somebody else.
Okay.
Well, she's been in the photo challenge before. Like a couple
I think
years
she
ago.
Has. Yeah.
I think she was the very first photo challenge ever. Actually.
Yeah, like on roller skates or something.
Yeah. So this is our friend. Again, I convinced her to run outside for a photo, even though it's -6, but it like degrees, but it felt like -30 for some reason yesterday.
Okay.
So I appreciate her being a trooper and wanting to get out there and do it. So I shot this with the Pro Mist, as I said.
Okay.
So it's a little more subtle than the other versions I sent you.
Yeah.
But similar kind of thing. Went with the posing tips that Dwayne gave us. Now I was fixated on turning her shoulders so that it wasn't a straight on shot.
Mm-hmm.
And had her, even though it's difficult to tell in the parka, I did have her drop her left shoulder a little bit to me, and then kept the no 90 degree angles tip as well, so had her one hand in the pocket and the other hand just awkwardly hanging in the middle of nowhere. but that one's on me.
Yeah.
And then again did the thing with her head where I told her, okay, put your, you know, like Dwayne told us, bring your forehead forward and your chin up.
Right.
And I showed her, and it looked silly in person. She felt silly. In fact, when she saw the photo, she sent me an email saying, wow, it looks really good, way less silly than it felt.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, that to me was a nice takeaway because I kind of like what's going on in the, you know, like her face looks good.
Yes.
So there's that. I'll self-critique. I don't like what's going on with the feet. It's one of those things that just sort of, there was kids running around in the background, so I was kind of having to wait until they were out of the background.
Right.
And so I kind of lost focus on directing her feet to do something interesting. Retrospect, okay, so I would have had her right foot go up on that pole behind her.
Wow, that's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, would have brought the one foot, either the left or the right, but one of them up back up onto the pole, I think would have just created a little bit of that separation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the way I would have gone. So, and this was lit by a flash. I shot a whole different full-length pose the day before with somebody else in different conditions and got home and just did not like it.
And you liked this one better.
Oh, I didn't. I liked it better. I immediately recognized that my other ones weren't going to work. Like, I just didn't like them. And I said, okay. We're redoing. I got to redo this because it was nice. It was nice soft lighting, and I thought, great. You know, like the one I didn't use. I was like, oh, you know what? I don't have to like this. It's nice and soft. I can take the picture. No, it just looked awful. I mean, it was fine. It was acceptable. You wouldn't look at it and go, oh my god, this guy will make a good plumber. you know, it was fine, but I just knew I could do better. And so I got the flash out and just shot some bare SB28 camera left.
Okay.
Onto her. So that's what's lighting her up.
Great.
Okay. Well,
when I looked at this photo, my first thought was, I win. I win this week. So mm-hmm. That's it. That's all what I you got thought? For you.
That's what you think every week. Yeah.
No, sometimes I clearly look at it and go, okay, all right, Dwayne wins or Don wins or Amber wins, but
or it's
this
a tie.
Time
yeah.
This time I clearly thought, well, Chuck went up for me.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's my critique. Mine's better.
If I'd had the power substation thing there, I think I would have done a lot better, but no, I didn't have it. And you didn't even use a filter. So, I don't know. I think filters kind of trump quality.
All right. So, it's a tie.
It's a push. good. So let's run down the eggs of oku. I chose to leave out the focal length this week.
Okay.
So we both shot them on full frame, correct? 6D?
Yeah.
Okay, I shot mine in the 5D, so it's both full frame. Mine I shot at ISO 640 because it was late in the evening. I'm going to give you a hint. It was late in the evening.
Okay.
That's why it's so blue, and that's why I left it blue on purpose.
Okay.
So ISO 640, shot it at an F4 and a shutter speed of 1/125. So what's the focal length on that? That's what we got to figure out. Yours, you shot at ISO 320, a little bit brighter part of the day, although open shade.
Right.
Also shot yours at F4. Also shot yours at 1/125. So the only difference being in ours is the ISO. Fill in the blanks. Great. Fill in the blanks. That's what we're getting.
Okay.
This week's topic, if we still have time.
We don't.
We don't.
We're out of time.
We're out of time this week? Oh, boy. Yeah. This week, we're going to talk about cookies and gobos.
Great.
I had to throw in the and gobos, because otherwise you would just be fixated on the cookies.
Now, are those different things? Are you going to explain this all to me?
Yeah. Well, okay, yes and no. How about that?
Okay.
Yes, they're different. No, I'm not going to explain them. You know why?
No.
Because I don't care.
Okay.
I honestly don't. Maybe we get a bunch of emails. Maybe we don't. I don't care about the difference between a gobo and a kookalorus, is what the cookie is short for.
Really?
Also, great Seinfeld episode. Yeah, so one of them, there's a difference, but PS doesn't matter, okay?
Okay.
For what we're going to talk about, all we're going to do is we're going to use them to make shadows, interesting shadows. So gobo, the name gobo apparently comes from goes before optics.
Okay.
That's what they say. It just sounds cool to say it.
Yeah.
Like if you drop that, like it comes from theater and film, the theater and film world generally, and so if... Like, I don't know if you know a lot of film people. Probably not.
No, I don't.
They like to talk in their own sort of inside hipster language.
Right.
And so that's one of the ones that they like to drop. One of the terms they like to drop. I think it's a secret code so that they know if they're dealing with a fellow film person.
Right. Okay.
Any idea what else it could be called?
Cookie?
Yeah, cookie. Flag. We can call it a flag. Because even though sometimes it's designed to keep light, you know, flags are designed to keep light off certain areas, and so it, in effect, creates a shadow, so you might see the shadow.
Right.
Flag. Charlie bar. That's a fun little one to say. No, that's a real thing. I'm not joking.
I know. You just, your excitement was humorous to me.
No, I've never used a Charlie bar. That one comes from movies as well. It's basically a tiny, thin little flag that just... You throw on a C stand to basically create some kind of a just to break up the light a little bit.
Just sounds like a delicious snack to me.
You see, I thought it was kind of a cool nightclub to go to.
Yeah, that could be too.
Yeah, where they serve delicious snacks. Yeah, if they do them in Nanaimo, you're good.
Yeah.
Nanaimo bar, in case anybody doesn't know. I know you know what Nanaimo bars are. You've been to Nanaimo and had a Nanaimo bar, I'm sure.
I haven't had one there. That's the funny thing.
Oh, good point. I probably, even on the ferry? Come on.
No, I haven't.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't say I have either. Anyways, so yeah, that's what we use cookies and gobos for, is basically anything that goes in front of our lights to create an interesting shadow. For us. The end.
Good night, everybody.
Well, no. Oftentimes you'll get like a boring background and want to liven it up. Like if you're shooting with a white wall and think, I don't want to shoot with a white wall today.
Right.
I want to shoot with something interesting. Blam. Gobo.
Okay, so
do you remember the
us through this.
Do you remember the movie Boogie Nights?
Yes.
There's a scene there where they're lighting up one of the scenes in the movie. And it's just taking forever, and Burt Reynolds says, hey, let's get this going. And he says, dealing with some tough shadows, Jack. He says, there's shadows in life, babe. It's a very funny line, the way he delivers it. But that's interesting because when we start lighting, we sometimes forget. Like, the idea is to get rid of shadows, but there are shadows in life. And so perhaps we want to add some interest. We want to add some dimension. Or, this is the weird one, we want to add realism in a fake way.
Okay. Now I'm just completely confused.
You're not confused. But really, like, look around, you know, on any normal day, you generally see shadows in your house.
Yes.
Outside, everywhere. You see them everywhere. I didn't mean specifically Adam's house. We'll start running tours to your, hey, come see the shadows.
Right.
But you see shadows everywhere, and sometimes if they're not there and you want to create them, you know, maybe you're shooting a film noir, some sort of a Dashiell Hammett movie in your house. Boom, right. Shadows.
Yeah.
So first way to include them in your photos. What's the simple way? Any idea?
No.
Look for them in life. I did a couple weeks ago. Remember the shot of my kid looking like she couldn't do math?
Right. Yeah.
I didn't like that. That's just a real life gobo. The sunlight, low sunlight coming in through the window, casting an interesting shadow on the wall. Now I look for those whenever I can use them. Blam, that's what I use. So this is the great time of year to do that too.
How come? Why is this the great time of year?
The sun just being low in the sky.
Earlier in the day?
Yeah. Well, earlier in the day, but it also just comes in low. Do you ever notice that the shadows that come from the sunlight in your house, aren't they a different position in this time than they are in August?
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's generally a lot easier to do, you'll find, if the sun is out. That's the rub.
Yeah.
But that's something I look for. Or look for it when you're out walking around, you know. Like, again, you're going to need to do it, you know, early in the morning, later in the evening, when the shadows are long.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the day, you're kind of out of luck, generally. But look around at what's casting shadow. What sort of things are casting shadows? Perhaps a building is casting a shadow on, you know, the background of another building. Or be creative. Look around for this.
Okay, step one, look for shadows.
Yeah, that's the easy way. That way you don't have to light anything.
Okay. And if they're not there?
Well, you could try using practice. If you're not using a flash, which I think if you're listening to our show by now, or this episode, you've probably explored the idea of using off-camera flash.
Or on-camera.
It's going to be difficult to do gobos with that.
Right, right.
But I would think you're at least thinking about off-camera flash. And if you're thinking about off-camera flash, you should be doing off-camera flash. I recommend it. It's not very expensive anymore.
I agree. It's awesome.
If you're doing it like with the wireless flash that are under $100 for the cheap ones.
Yep.
And unlike the first few models, these ones actually are pretty good. So the first couple of versions of the cheap ones apparently weren't not very, very good at all. But now under $100, get your flash off the camera and let's do that. That's the plan. Okay? So in the meantime, you could be using a practical light. You could be using like a work light or anything. Like look at your ceiling next time you have your desk lamp on or like a side table lamp with a lampshade. It's going to create an interesting pattern on the ceiling, depending on your light.
Okay.
So we could use something like that aimed at the wall to do that.
Sounds easy enough.
Likely you're going to use a flash, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So, have you done this before? Have you used gobos?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good. You do the show from here on out then.
Okay. I have done gobos.
Okay. So you're likely going to use a flash, more likely two, because you're going to want to light your subject.
Right.
Okay. So when using them, basically what you're going to do is set your flash up to blast across your wall. That's your background light.
Yeah.
And now you're going to put something in front of it to break that up, to create a shadow. Now, you are limited to basically anything you like to use as a gobo.
That's not limited at all.
That's just poor writing on my part.
Yeah.
Good point. No, you really are. You have very, very few limitations because, you know, there's no rules here.
Do you have a few favorites?
What's the all-time go-to? It's not necessarily my favorite, but it's the easy one that most everybody has in their house.
It's a plant.
A plant. A house plant of any sort is perfect because it gives you so much variety simply by turning the plant. You put the plant down in front of the light and take a picture and then turn it 10 degrees, you're going to get a different shadow.
Right.
That's the beauty of it. That's one of the many beauties of it. Plus, most people have one in the house and, you know, great. Pass me your ficus. That's it.
All right.
I use a chair oftentimes because, you know, any chair that you could technically shoot through, like that has slats on it or something like that, like your dinner table or chair or we have, like, I have one of my desk chairs has round holes cut in it. So you can actually create like a round pattern on the wall, like Swiss cheese, we'll call it.
Okay.
Yeah. So anything like that, like, and that works out great. So again, be creative. Another really simple one. This one I use as often as I possibly can when lighting a scene. I put my flash outside the house and have it come in through the window.
Okay, so just purely the window glass is the gobo.
Correct. And well, the window frame, like the panes of the window or whatever it is. I mean, depends how your windows look. Like maybe you have the awesome, I don't know, what do you call the, with the window, with the, I don't know how you describe it.
The stained glass?
Yes, but I guess stained glass would be awesome. If you live in a church, I suppose that would work out great. So Father Flanagan, run with that one. Unless he's Pope now. I don't know how that's going to work out. Sidetracked.
Again. Yeah.
No, like with the lead pane glass things with the thing in the middle. Like, I don't know, you see in the movies, like when Ebenezer Scrooge throws up the window, he probably had panes in the glass. That would look cool. It makes a great effect on the wall.
Yeah.
In fact,
I like vases.
Vases. Well, they're technically called vases.
Vases, vases. But glass ones that are see-through, that they usually have some kind of pattern to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that if they're big enough that you can stick your flash right inside of them, it can create some pretty cool effects.
Ah, that's interesting. That's a nice one. Trying to think of what else I've used recently. Nothing recently that I've
kids toys.
Kids toys. Oh, I used a drink case a couple weeks ago on the photo challenge. Basically, one of those plastic cases that water bottles come in.
Okay.
Now, it's more of like a proper plastic case here, like, because they come in the glass bottles. But just turn that on the side, boom, shoot through, you got something interesting. So those are some samples of what you can use. Like, again, you're limited by your own imagination. So how do we start by doing this? Like, where do we start when you're going to set up a shot with a gobo'd background? You're gonna shoot well, a picture of either your wife or your kids in front of a background. You're gonna use a gobo. How do you start lighting that?
I guess first you're gonna have to figure out, you know, how big you want the projection of that shadow to be on the wall, and then you'll have to probably do a little bit of placement and trial and error to figure out how far between the flash and the wall the gobo should be.
So basically, you're going to start with the background.
Yes. Yes. Well, absolutely, I'm going to start with the background.
As am I. I'm going to start with the background first. I'm going to set my flash up to rake across the background without gobo yet.
Okay.
And I'm going to determine what I want that to look like. Then I'm going to bring in the we'll call it a cookie for the rest of the show, just for fun.
Okay.
I'm going to bring that in and like you said, decide how big that's going to be. How much are we going to need? So that's one consideration. And that will determine where you place the cookie. Closer, okay. If you place it closer to the flash, you're going to get a much larger spread.
Yes.
Further away, obviously much less. Now, what else is the difference there, though? what else changes when you change the distance between the light source and the cookie?
How dark the shadow is
going to
be?
You're changing how dark the shadow is going to be, and you're also going to change the softness of the edge.
Okay.
If it is further away, you're going to get hard shadow, like hard light. It's going to be hard, right, behaving like hard light on your cookie. So the closer you keep it, the more sort of out of focus it's going to be.
Okay.
Further away, obviously you're going to get like a much stronger shadow. So that's what you have to decide. Which do you want? Now, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just whatever you like. So that's what I decide. Now, I also try to keep my backlight off of my subject generally in this case.
Right.
So most times, I wouldn't say all the time, but I generally start this way. I zoom my flash head all the way in the case of the SB28 to 85 millimeters.
Okay, so that makes the narrower beam.
Narrower beam, you're likely going to get a slightly sharper edge. It's easier to control. If you want to throw a snoot on there, that's handy too. Although we haven't really talked about snoots, so pretend they don't exist.
Okay.
That's what I do. I zoom all the way in. Don't often use a snoot. Use it bare. No diffusion. Don't be putting anything on your light, umbrella or anything to diffuse it. Because that's going to really cut down your shadow.
Okay.
And then after that, once I get that kind of dialed in, I then sort of play with the angle of the cookie. Because that will change the distortion. If it's something linear, somewhat linear, like a chair or whatever, just by turning it, you're going to get a little distortion.
Right.
So if my chair with the holes in it, if I turn it, I'm going to now get sort of these long ovals. You get the idea. You can figure out how this goes.
Okay.
But that's something to think about. Or with your VAWS, you could turn it to see what image you're going to get the best. Now, that's the beauty of digital, is you can fire away a whole bunch of test shots before your subject even sits down.
Right.
And just get it right. Okay, I'm going to dial that in. That's how I want that to look. Wonderful. Now, most times, I use household objects. But sometimes I want to create my own.
Okay.
And one of my favorites is the fake window that comes in very, very handy. And all I did was take a thin piece of cardboard from some box shipped in, and cut out a window shape.
A square.
Yeah. Well, you can see it in this week's album art.
Okay.
That's what I use. And I use a little bit of duct tape to tape the edges just so it'd be crisp. Instead of like kind of a rough edge.
Yeah.
And then I use a light stand to just hold that up in front of the flash. I shoot my flash through it, and it creates a really cool looking sort of window shadow across the background.
Cool.
So that's something to do, and it cost me about 0 cents. Well, duct tape, so I don't know, 12 cents?
12 cents.
Yeah. On top of that, I don't know what else I can tell you. What? Anything missing? Anything that you feel like I should cover?
I don't think so. I think it's covered. So I'm sensing a photo challenge from this topic.
Now you are skipping ahead a little bit.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Use if you have gels, I recommend using them on the background. You can create okay. some interesting stuff. Really, that's the beauty, is you can change the background very, very quickly. If you let's say you're using a house plant,
yeah,
fire one shot off, boom, turn the plant 20 degrees, put on a blue gel, fire the same shot, you're going to get a wildly different background just in a matter of seconds.
Okay.
So that's something to think about. Throw a different color gel on there for separation. Again, not very limited. Sometimes you can use the cookie to throw light on the subject itself. Perhaps you want shadows on your subject's face. It doesn't have to just be the background.
And with your window example, that probably would be perfect.
That would be, now we're getting into the photo challenge. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, I just ruined it.
Maybe I'll do that. Yeah, that does work out quite well. And so, you know, that's a good way to break it up. Once again, no rules. The one thing I do try, though, I try to make it so that it isn't, I would say arbitrary. Like, it's not just like you don't look at the picture and go, oh, well, yes, he's clearly creating a fake background there. I try to sort of make sure it's the secondary focus of the image.
Okay.
That my subject is clearly the, you know, we want to see him slash her, and it's just in an interesting light. Not easy to do. It doesn't always work, but that's the goal, is to make it sort of secretly invisible.
Okay.
So, that's what cookies and gobos are, and why you should always think about using them, even if you don't use them. Always think about it. Have them ready to go. So this week's photo challenge, Adam. Underwater photo. No, come on. Cookie. We're doing a cookie or a gobo. Okay. Your choice.
Okay. I'm going to choose cookie.
Obviously. Don't take a picture of a half-eaten cookie. Unless you use that cookie as a cookie.
Oh, I was totally going to use the cookie as a cookie.
Yeah. Or Jack's Cookie Monster doll or something. Don't be cute. I'm telling you, don't be cute. It's not appreciated.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Adam. Until then, can work. Is your wife posting stuff or not?
She is. She posted a little video of my kid skating from last weekend. So I think she might have even put up a new blog post tonight too. So did you see the little 30-second clip of my son chasing me around the skating rink?
No, but I meant to.
Yeah. Well, he's skating. He's a skating machine right now. Mm-hmm. So check it out.
That's was my daughter, but better.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We haven't gone. When do your kids first? Just stop, really off topic, real quick. When did your kids first start going skating? How old were they?
I think Jack was probably about just under two, and Sarah was probably, well, because they're about 2 years separated, so she was just before four.
Oh, she went later.
Yeah, well, 3.5, let's say. But whenever we first started taking her, we just figured, hey, we got two kids. We'll start firing him on the ice, too. So he started much earlier only because he was the tag along.
And I see we haven't gone yet, and because it's obviously it's not as popular here. Like, there is a ice rink we can find, but it's a bit of a drive, and, you know, there's calories involved.
Right.
Not like at home where basically everyone has one in their backyard, right?
Right.
So anyways, we wanted to go, and we thought, hey, we'll organize a big thing where all, you know, all of our friends and their kids will all go ice skating one day for the winter, you know. And across the board, kids from ages like 1.5 to 4, the parents were like, oh, no, they're not ready yet. And I thought, I don't expect Emily to be able to skate.
Right.
Like, we're just going to give her those double runners and basically drag her around the rink.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, I think it for the most part, a lot of kids around two, you know, they just kind of walk. They just kind of walk on the ice, right?
Yeah.
And then it just kind of, you know, basically here we have those bars or chairs. They used to have chairs, but now they're those skating bars where, again, once they can stand up and they hold on to those, and then that helps them steady their balance, and then they start pushing. Mm-hmm. And then you try to get them away from the bar. It's kind of like the soother, you know, they get dependent on it, and then it's really hard to get it away. So we've just, you know, we've had to bribe Jack to get him away from the bar because, again, he's a boy and he wants to race 1,000% of the time.
Sure.
So, you know, he realizes that he goes much faster when he has the bar than when he doesn't. So, yeah, it's been a challenge to get him away from the bar. But, of course, the video I took this weekend, we bribed him, and he recognized how well he could skate without the bar, and then he just sort of said to us, yeah, I don't need the bar anymore. So that's kind of like the moment. Sarah had that moment too. Yeah, I don't need the bar anymore.
Nice. Well, I'm just saying, so, I was surprised that the parents didn't want to give it a try. Oh, no, the kid's not ready.
It's like anything, you know, the kids learn things fast.
That's what I said. All right. That's what I'm going to tell them. We're going to go anyways, and I don't care if the other parents come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing I do have to say about skating, and both my kids were this way, was when they're, you know, two-ish and you're going skating, expect us to spend a lot more time getting them ready than actually on the ice.
Yeah, but that's true of winter in general for me. How it goes. So I feel like I'm prepared for that.
Yeah.
It's one
of
those things.
If you're prepared for that, it's all good. Yeah.
It's one of those things that you get used to, but you never like.
Yeah. And now they'll skate for an hour, no problem. But I'd say the first dozen times we took both kids, it was like, oh yeah, 20 minutes of skating. So by the time you drive to the rink and then you get their stuff on and then you give them a snack and then you get them home, you've spent an hour doing other stuff and 20 minutes skating.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So as long as you're good with that going in, but we were fine with that and we did it over and over again. And eventually that 20 minutes turned into an hour. Now even an hour and a half, they'll skate.
There you go. Long story short, check out Adam's skating video.
There you go. Yeah, and see how awesome. But my kid, like I'm going to be like all those parents in Canada. My kid's the next Gretzky.
What month was he born in?
The outliers you're pointing at. Right? He's a, what is he? He's March.
He's got a pretty good shot then.
Yeah, he's in early in the year, so he's fine. He'll be playing in the NHL by the time he's 11.
See, my birthday's late. That's why I didn't play. And also lack of skill as well. was those two of the those are the two deciding factors? Yeah,
right. They so like, SchwartzChronicles.com. So check that out.
That's where you can find that and my stuff at AlanAttridge.com and as always, the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find links to Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, bus schedules. If you need those, we got some of those on there. They're hard to find, so don't spend too much time looking.
Yeah.
That's it. Facebook is probably the place where, you know, Adam pays attention the most.
Yeah, I post stuff there. That's it. That's my contribution.
Yeah, that's it. So until next week, get out there and make better photos.